The first day of college, the very first day, entering freshman, having never gone to a single class, we knew that we knew nothing. We were brand new to college, brand new to Bible college. We knew at this point we had learned nothing from any professor. We hadn't even met a professor yet. We knew we knew nothing. And yet they herded every single freshman into the largest lecture hall they had on campus, and they presented us with a 20-plus page exam. They said it was a pretest. They said, it doesn't matter. Just take it. It doesn't count for anything. And yet still, we were more nervous for that exam than probably any other exam because it was that large. 20-some pages of questions. And in the back of my mind, it doesn't count for anything, but what happens when they realize that I know nothing? I know that I know nothing, but they don't know that I know nothing. And what happens when they realize I know nothing and that I shouldn't be here? Because it was an exam on our biblical and theological knowledge. 20-plus pages, small print, of biblical and theological questions on our very first day as college freshmen. And they said, what you're going to do is you're going to take this test on the first day, and then we'll also have you take this test on your last day as a senior. And our hope is we're going to see how much you've grown, how much you've learned, and how much you've changed. I don't remember much of that test, other than I didn't know the answers, but on top of that, I didn't even know half the words. Because they were using these big theological words. I have never heard of them. And so here I am taking this test that I can't even make sense of what the questions are asking. But somehow I survived it. Somehow they didn't kick me out of school, and I did take it 4 years later. And it was a little easier the second time around. I clearly had learned some things. I had grown, I had changed a little bit, and so I was able to kind of compare where I was and where I ended up. And isn't that kind of what we expect? When it comes to going to college, or maybe just going to a one-day seminar, or taking some kind of correspondence course online, we expect that we're going to change, that we're going to grow, that where we start and where we end is going to be different. We expect the same thing for our preschoolers. We send our kids off to daycare, to preschool. We expect that when they come home at the end of the day, the end of the week, we're going to start seeing some things. Oh, they know their numbers now. They know their colors. They're growing and they're changing. And that stays consistent. We send our kids to elementary school, into middle school, into high school. We expect there's going to be a difference. We expect that the teachers are helping them to grow and to learn, that they're going to change. That's what education is all about, growing us and changing us. But what about our relationship with Jesus? Do we come to our relationship with Jesus and expect to grow and to change? And so today we're wrapping up and kind of reviewing through our series on brokenness. We're kind of reviewing where we've been and what we've been talking about and what this looks like to be broken with Jesus. And what we need to be clear on today and where we want to land is that brokenness is not the end goal. We've been talking about what it means to be broken. We've established that we are all broken, that we all have a struggle with sin, that we've all been separated from God because of our sins. But on top of the sin issue, we also have just general struggles. We have rough hardships going on in life. We have illnesses. We have financial problems. There are things that are happening that are just hard for us, and they break us. And so we've been establishing that we are all broken. And we've established that it's okay to be broken. We've been building on this idea that it's okay that we're broken. We can still come to God in our brokenness. But what we need to understand today as we wrap all this up is that we don't stop there. We can't stop in our brokenness. And so as we started the series, we said we come to God in our brokenness, much like that first day of college. We come to God and we know nothing other than we are broken. We know that we have nothing to offer God, and that's where we come to him. We say, God, I know that I'm not impressive. I know that I've earned no favor. I've earned no merit points with you. I'm just broken, and I'm here. I'm present. And that's kind of how I felt that first day of college. I know nothing, but I'm here. And that's how we come to God. We say, God, I'm broken. And God does not reject us. He has no scales to weigh out how much good versus how much bad we have. And that's the mentality we kind of live in. We think that, hey, if I do enough good stuff, God will love me or accept me despite some of the hardships I have. He doesn't do that. And we've been talking about that. We said he doesn't reject us. Instead, he simply calls us. God calls us in our brokenness. He seeks us out knowing who we are, knowing the struggles we have, knowing our struggle with sin, knowing our struggle with illness, knowing our family issues. He still seeks us out. And we spent some time talking about that. And we said, you can see this in the disciples. Jesus calls these 12 disciples. And if you were here that Sunday, we kind of looked at certain ones of them and said, wow, they are all messed up. They are all broken in different ways. And Jesus is still asking them to join him. He knows who they are and he still wants them. And we said, we see that same thing in our own lives. We can come to God broken and he won't reject us. The whole point of college, as we're using that as kind of a backboard today, the whole idea behind college is that the college is going to look for undereducated or uneducated individuals and educate them, to take them from point A in their education to point B. But lately I've been hearing some stories of colleges that are content with calling people in, come to our campus, and then you can just sit there. Come on in to the class and just be here. There's no real need to train you up or take you from point A to point B. We simply want to take your money, and we want to give you an experience. We want to give you this college experience where you can party and make friends and meet people, but that's the extent of it. And sometimes we have to go, is that what Jesus does with us? Does he call us in and then just kind of lets us be with him? He knows we're broken. Does he simply want us to come and experience him and spend some time with him and stay there? And that's where we spent our third week in the series looking at, saying that God doesn't call us just to sit around. He calls us with a purpose. He calls us and says, yes, I know you're broken. I'm calling you, and I want to put you to use. I want to see you work in the world. I want to give you a purpose. And we spent some time in the book of Judges. We were looking at these individuals, these characters that were broken, that God called and God used. And if you remember some of their stories as we jump from one to the next, you saw how broken they were, how many struggles they had. And yet at the end of their stories, they were still broken individuals. They still had struggles. They were still broken, but they were given purpose in God's kingdom. So you see where we've been kind of moving through this series, and we're coming to the landing point today. Because at the end of the day, each of the judges, each of these characters we looked at the end of the story that we have recorded, many of them, most of them, I think even all of them, are still broken. And so we land on this question of going, oh, yes, God called them, and he calls us. We understand that. And yes, God used them, and he uses us. But is that it? Are we still left with the brokenness? And the resounding answer I think we see through Scripture is no. I think what we need to understand as we land the plane today on this series is that God doesn't leave us where we're at. When we come to him in our brokenness, he doesn't take us and say, okay, I can use you, I'm calling you, but you're still going to be broken. He says, I'm not going to leave you where you're at. And we hinted at that our very first week when we started this series at the picnic. If you remember out at the picnic, we said the idea is we're all broken. God doesn't throw us away. Instead, he gives us Christ's perfection. He gives us Jesus' righteousness. And so already at the very beginning, we were beginning to hint at this idea that we don't stay the way we are, that God doesn't want to leave us where we're at. He pulls us in as broken individuals, but he doesn't let us stay there. He doesn't leave us where we're at. The first thing we see is that God justifies us through Christ. And we looked at the verses in Romans chapter 3. Paul writes, righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Jesus' perfection is given through belief. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified, all are realigned freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Paul says, look, we come to God in our brokenness, we answer his call, and he realigns us with Jesus. He justifies us. He says, you're still broken, but Jesus is not. Jesus is perfect. Jesus was never broken, and he shares his perfection with us. So what we learn through Paul's words is when we come to Christ and we say, yes, I'm broken, God says, okay, I'm going to realign you with Jesus. I'm going to give you Jesus' perfection. No, you're not perfect, but Jesus is, and he's going to share that with you. There's still work to be done in your life, but Jesus is going to share this with you. Over the last several weeks, I've been mowing the soccer fields again. And you know some of my fun stories about mowing some of our hills here and crashing the mowers. Our soccer field's being rented by Dayspring Christian Academy, and so we're having to mow the soccer field pretty pristine for them to use for their games. And so I've been doing that during the day since they practice in the evenings when our volunteers are usually mowing. The soccer field is really easy, though. It's flat. I don't have to worry about crashing into trees. The other nice thing about mowing the soccer field as compared to just regular mowing here is that the soccer field has lines on it. There are side lines. And so all I have to do is just mow back and forth, keeping in line with the side line. And, you know, if you've used some of our mowers here or if you've ever been on a zero-turn mower, you know that with two-hand steering going on, just ever so slightly moving one hand can kind of get you off course. But I have that side line always in one peripheral or the other, and I go, okay, that's what I have to stay clear to. And so every now and then, I just have to give a slight twist on the handle, slight yank, to realign myself, because the sidelines are there to show me where I'm going. And I think that's how we can kind of compare Jesus. We can say Jesus is our guiding line. He's our sideline. He's kind of the straight point we're supposed to be following. We should walk with him. But as we go through life, as we're mowing in life, we tend to stagger, we tend to veer, we kind of weave off course. And so when we come to God for that first time, we come and say, God, I'm broken, I've wandered away from you, we are as far off course as possible. We've wandered completely off course, and God says, look, I'm going to call you in your brokenness, and I'm going to justify you in Christ. Essentially, God grabs the steering wheel of the mower and yanks it back and gets you back in line with Jesus. He says, you still don't know how to drive the mower, but I'm going to put you back on course. And so he yanks us back and he justifies us in Christ. He says, now that's the way you're supposed to be going. But we still have work to be done. We're given Christ perfection, but we're not perfect in our day-to-day living. We still have struggles. We have to learn how to steer. We have to learn how to walk and how to overcome our brokenness. And so that's kind of the second thing we see today. God doesn't leave us where we're at. He doesn't just justify us and pull us back into alignment with Christ. He also equips us through the Holy Spirit. And we touched on this ever so slightly last week. Last week he said that, you know, God sometimes will use challenges in our lives to grow us. And that's just a piece of it, that God says, look, I'm going to bring you back in alignment with Christ, and I'm going to show you how to walk with him, how to follow him, and I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you experiences that kind of pull you in that direction. I'm going to give you gifts that are going to help you to use for my glory. I'm going to give you the things you need to become more like Christ. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be in us, and we will listen to him as we walk through life, and he's going to lead us if we listen well. And the Spirit gives us tools that we need to stay on course. And essentially, the Spirit can kind of show us how to drive, how to steer. One of the things he gives us, and we talk about in church, is spiritual gifts. And I just wanted to hit a quick verse in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about this idea of the Spirit equipping us through these gifts. He says there are different kinds of gifts. We all have different gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Paul says, look, when you come to faith, God gives you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to gift you with different gifts and talents. He's going to help you live out this calling God has. He's going to show you how to steer the course through these gifts and through these abilities. And so he gives us those things. He also teaches us. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John 14, 26. He says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. So he gives us the tools we need, and he also teaches us the lessons from Jesus we need to know. How do I stay in line with Jesus? The Holy Spirit says, well, let me remind you what he said. Let me remind you how he taught you, what he wants you to do. And so, yeah, we come to God broken. We come to God with our struggles, and we say, God, this is just who I am. I know nothing other than I'm broken. And God says, that's okay. Let me pull you back in alignment with Jesus. Let me give you his perfection, and let me give you the tools and the lessons you need to grow. So I don't want you to stay the way you are. I know who you are, and I love you the way you are, but I don't want you to stay there. I want you to grow. I want you to change. And it's not enough just to realign us. He says, I want to give you the tools and the lessons you're going to need. But the third thing that we see he does is God sanctifies us through the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, it's one of those big churchy theological words that was on that test that I took that first day of college. In a nutshell, though, sanctification is this process where God takes us from point A to point B. He says, I want to change you from where you are to where you're going. And the process of change is what we call sanctification. It's the stuff in between the pretest and the post-test. God says, you need to change, and we're going to do this together, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you. It's a process of learning and growing as the Holy Spirit works in our lives. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul's writing to the church, and he says, in all of my prayers for you, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul says, I am confident of this one thing when I pray for you, that God won't leave you as you are. I know that he started a good work, he brought you into alignment with Christ, and he's taking you somewhere. You're moving from point A to point B, and I know that God will complete that process in you, that he will continue that process until the day you are with Christ Jesus. So you are supposed to grow. You're supposed to change. You're supposed to learn and be more like Christ. To move from brokenness to perfection in Jesus. And so we say, yes, we are given Christ's righteousness. We're given his perfection. We're realigned with him when we come to God. We are perfect in God's eyes. But day to day, I know I'm not. Because I'm still struggling with my everyday life. I'm still facing temptations. There's still brokenness with my family. There's still issues with my friends' relationship. There's still issues I'm in. I know I'm perfect in God, but I still struggle. And so I'm on this journey. I know I haven't mastered it yet, but I know that I will. I know where I'm going. I know where my ultimate destination is. And so I go on this journey with Jesus. I say, Holy Spirit, work inside of me. We sang these songs this morning. Holy Spirit, come, work inside me. Take me from point A to point B. Help me move from my brokenness to God's perfection. The challenge sometimes is we go, well, wait a minute. If I know where I started at point A, I know who I am in my brokenness, and I know that eventually, no matter what, I will be with God, and I will be perfect, and I will have Jesus' perfection. If I know that's where I'm going, why do I have to do all the work? Kind of going to this pretest, post-test in college. If I know the post-test is going to be there, and I'm still going to get my diploma no matter what happens on it, why do I have to study for 4 years? Why do I have to let the Holy Spirit do work and move? Why can't I just live any way I want, knowing that my brokenness is not an issue for God? That God still accepts me and loves me despite my struggles. There's still work to be done. And Paul faced this mentality. He's talking to the Romans and he's writing them this letter, and they were asking the same question. Now, wait a minute. You mean we're at point A, we're unbroken, but we know that God accepts us and he gives us Christ's righteousness and we will be perfect with Jesus. So why do we have to do any work? Why can't we just stay here in point A and then one day we'll be in point B with God in glory? Why can't we just stay and not do work? We can live any way we want, stay in our brokenness, and Jesus will realign us when we get off course. And Paul says, no, that's not how it works. Let me explain this to you. So he writes Romans chapter 6. And like I said, we're going to be reading 14 verses. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Romans 6 verses 1 through 16. That's interesting. We're reading 14 verses, not 16. But Paul answers this question. Why can't I just continue in my brokenness? Why can't I continue in my sin? And he says to them, what shall we say then? Shall we continue sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because everyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, it says, don't stay in point A. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that evil that you obey its evil desire. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. He says, don't stay in point A. God wants you to move from A to B. He wants you to grow. He wants you to change. The Holy Spirit is there with you to help you through that process. And the question is raised then, do we count ourselves dead to sin? When we think about our struggles and our temptations, we say, no, I'm dead to that. That's not part of who I am anymore. Am I dead to my brokenness? Yes, it's there, but it's not my master anymore. Is that really how we process through our struggles? That we still have them, they're still there, but we're dead to them. They're not in charge of us anymore. Do we really think I'm alive in Christ, I'm alive in his righteousness and his perfection, and that's the definition of who I am? Do we define ourselves that way? If I'm walking with Jesus, if I'm following the Holy Spirit in my life, then I should be changing. I still have brokenness, I still have struggles, but it's different. It's not my master anymore. It's just kind of that nagging voice in my ear. As the Holy Spirit moves in my life, I shouldn't be as broken today as I was yesterday. When I look at where I was yesterday and where I am today, I say, you know, I see just those little steps I've taken. If I continue to listen and I continue to obey the Holy Spirit's prompting my lives, I should be able to say, tomorrow I'm going to be better than I am today. That tomorrow I'll have taken one more step or two more steps in walking with Christ and being in alignment with him. And then as I take each step forward from point A into eternity, I know as I look forward that my eternity holds perfection. That as I follow God's calling, that one day I will be with Christ and I will be truly perfect. That I will have no more struggles. That brokenness is no longer a part of me. And I move step by step, day by day, following the Holy Spirit as he sanctifies me. What we realize at the end of this is that Jesus heals our brokenness. He slowly removes it from our lives as we give our lives to him because he doesn't want us to stay where we're at. He says, I know who you are. I know that you're broken, but I love you and I don't want you to stay there. And step by step, we're going to move forward. As we die to ourselves, we die to sin, we die to our brokenness, and we find new life and perfection in Christ. And it's going to be a lifelong pursuit. We want to come and say, Jesus, I'm going to be with you for one day, and my life is going to be so good that the rest of it's just going to kind of flow. And Jesus says, no, it's a process. It takes time. It takes effort, but we're going to do this together, and I'm going to equip you, and I'm going to sanctify you, and I'm going to help you do this. And so when we get to the end of our lives and we take that post-test exam, as we stand before Jesus, will there be a difference? Will Jesus look at us and say, this is where I found you, this is where I called you, and this is where you were? And now at the end of your life, as you stand before me, this is how far you've come. Come into my paradise, come into my perfection, and let's continue to live together in my glory. He's not looking for us to be perfect. He's not looking for us to be starting in perfection when we come to him. He says, no, I know who you are, I know what your struggles are, and I love you, and we're going to work through this together. I just want you to come to me open. I know you're broken, it's okay. Come to me with a willingness to move and to learn. That's what I saw on that exam, that pretest in college is, oh goodness, I don't know any of this, but I'm willing to learn it. And God says, that's what I want of you. Come in your brokenness and be open. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we get these verses that I just really think hit this kind of pretty hard. Paul says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when God called you. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. God will never look at a single individual and say, wow, they are so impressive. I want them on my team. Like, I need that one on my team because they're just so amazing. And we live in that mentality. We go into the NFL draft and say, who's the best player? That's the one I have to get on my team. We all did this in elementary school. You're picking teams for dodgeball and you go, I know who I need on my team. God never does that. He doesn't look out over the world and go, ooh, who do I need to have because they're just so impressive? He looks out over the world and says, you know what? They're all kind of the last pick. They're all broken. Paul spells it out. He says, you weren't wise. You weren't influential. You weren't noble. In fact, most of you were foolish and despised. And it's in that moment God says, I want that one. God says, in that moment, yeah, you're broken, and I pick you for my team. I'm calling you not because of your gifts and your talents. I'll help you there. I'm calling you because I want you. He gives us righteousness and holiness and redemption in Christ. He heals and changes our brokenness as we walk with him into perfection. We don't have to stay broken. So as we come to the end of this study of the last several weeks, we need to understand that. We've been building on the idea that, yes, we can come to God in our brokenness, and he loves us, and he calls us, and he uses us, but we don't stay there. God doesn't want us to stay where we're at. He says, I want you to move into my perfection, and I'm going to help you do that. He wants us even in our brokenness because he can bring us into perfection. It just takes time and it takes work, but each step and each day we move forward. And so we want to be defined by Christ. We want to be defined by being with Jesus and not being defined by our brokenness. Yeah, I know that's still part of me and I know I'm working through that, but I am defined by Jesus, by his perfection and the calling he has on my life. And in the midst of that name and that title and that designation, my brokenness is meaningless. It's just kind of a piece of me that's still lingering in the background, and I'm going to move past it. And so I ask then, if you are broken, have you come to Jesus with that brokenness? And if so, are you leaving it behind? Are you dying to it as you live in Christ? That's the question we ask when we think about brokenness. Am I living in Jesus' perfection? Am I living anew each day in his love? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you love us. And week after week, we've talked about how you love us in the midst of our brokenness, that we don't have to be perfect when we come to you, that you'll take us just as we are. But we also realize, God, you don't want us to stay as we are. And you give us the tools and the Holy Spirit within us to move us forward, to realign us with Christ, to walk into perfection. It's a hard walk someday, God. Some days it is so hard to get out of bed and move forward and to die to our brokenness and live in Christ. And so I just pray, God, that you would renew that sense of calling in each of our lives, that you would renew that sense of purpose. You would remind us of your love and the perfection that you're calling us to, not in our own power, but in the power that you give us. That we are broken, but we can die to brokenness and live in Christ. So fill us anew today, God, with your Spirit, that we might walk with you and find our identity in you. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.